Before I read, let me pray. Father God, as we read your word now and hear it explained, please help us to understand you more and to know how you want us to live as your people. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20 says, "Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. A king's wrath strikes terror like the roar of a lion. Those who anger him forfeit their lives. It is to one's honour to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Sluggards do not plough in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out the evil with his eyes. Who can say, 'I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin'? Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Even small children are known by their actions. So is their conduct really pure and upright? Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. It's no good, it's no good,' says the buyer, then goes off and boasts about the purchase. Gold there is, and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if it is done for an outsider. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouthful of gravel. Plans are established by seeking advice, so if you wage war, obtain guidance. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. An inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. Do not say, 'I'll pay you back for this wrong.' Wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. The Lord detests differing weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? It is a trap to dedicate something rashly, and only later to consider one's vows. A wise king winnows out the wicked. He drives the threshing wheel over them. The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. Love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through his love, his throne is made secure. The glory of young men is their strength. Grey hair, the splendor of the old. Blows and wounds scrub away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being."
Well, good evening, everyone. Interesting passage. Let me pray. Father, help us tonight. Help us just to be able to focus a little bit. Help us to be able to concentrate. Help me to be clear-minded. But most of all, please give us soft hearts so that we can actually be excited and comforted by the things you tell us of life tonight. Amen. Well, this evening I'd like you to think about the process of building a house. And I admit I'm on shaky ground here because I'm no builder or son of a builder. But from what I can gather, when you build a house, there are certain things you have to get right, but then there are other things that you can be a little bit more flexible over. And so the foundations, the structural frame, those are the sort of things that you really do need to get right. They're the sort of things that you need to get checked off by engineers, or else the house won't be stable and it runs the risk of coming down. But other things, like the colour scheme of the bathroom, that's not quite as crucial in terms of the house being able to stay up. Now, I know some of you might feel very strongly about the colour scheme of a bathroom, but it is a different category. A house will not collapse if it's got a Mission Brown bathroom. Some things are crucial, other things not so. Now, in tonight's section of Proverbs, that's what we discover about life as well. And that if you want a good, stable, effective life, there are certain things you must do. There's certain things you must get right, but there's other things that are a bit more flexible. Now, that's actually what this great big centre section of Proverbs is all about. Chapter 10 right through to 29. It's all about stuff that's crucial and other things that aren't, although on first reading it doesn't seem all that obvious. Because chapter 20 that we just heard read, I picked that chapter to be read simply as a random example of what this whole middle section is like. Because unlike the earlier chapters of Proverbs, where you've sort of got a bit of a logical progression and it finished with that nice summary chapter that we looked at last Sunday in chapter 9, unlike that, the big centre section of Proverbs, chapters 10 to 29, it's full of what we just heard. Apparently random sayings just listed one after the other. And one minute you're reading about drinking beer, and then the next it's about kings sitting on a throne, and then it's about weights and measures, and then it's about people being lazy, and it just sort of jumps all over the place. And I think it's deliberately written like that so as to mimic what life is like and how life will more often than not just throw stuff at us without any obvious order. But the genius of Proverbs is that when you step back and reflect on all the different sayings, when you step back and reflect on life, what you start to see is a rhythm. A pattern does emerge. Some important life lessons become evident. Let me mention three tonight. All three life lessons are pretty similar to how you go about building a house. And so for the sake of drawing on that imagery, let me call the first lesson the foundation for the other two. And for this, have a look up at the screen at these four verses. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honour. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Now, I could actually keep going with lots of other examples exactly like that. But do you get the feeling that Proverbs is actually trying to tell us something with those sorts of verses? Or actually, do you get the feeling that it's trying to remind us of something with those sorts of verses? Because it's exactly what we discovered last week in chapters 1 to 9, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if that emphasis in the early chapters wasn't enough, peppered right through this middle section is the same lesson repeated over and over again, reminding us that we must revere who God is. We've got to come to terms with the power of God. You've got to come to terms with his majesty. You've got to come to terms with his authority over us. Please tell me you were doing that during the week. Because no matter how complicated life may get, no matter how complicated a decision or an issue may feel, the starting point, the foundational building block for being the best person you can be and for making the best possible decision you can make, it is always by humbly coming to terms with the fact that God is God and we're not. Or for us as Christians, it's coming to terms with the fact that Jesus is the boss over every aspect of life and we're not. Now, as crucial as that foundation is, it is what we discovered last week. So let's quickly move on, because having repeatedly laid that foundation, Proverbs now starts to build on it in this middle section. Just like when you build a house, the concrete slab goes down and then you put up a structural frame. Well, Proverbs has put down the slab. Fear the Lord. And on top of that, it now builds a framework of things we must do if we at all fear the Lord. And so now, have a look at these next four examples. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Better a little with righteousness than much with injustice. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. A false witness will not go unpunished, but he who pours out lies will not go free. Please notice now with these sorts of proverbs, even though there's lots of different topics covered, they're all linked by the fact that a value judgment is being made in them. One thing is said to be good and another thing is said to be bad. One thing is said to be better than another. One thing particularly is said to please God, while other things are said to be punished by God. In other words, here are actions, here are priorities which directly flow out of fearing God. Here are the things that flow out of the very character of God. And therefore, if you seriously fear God, these are not going to be optional extras to change the image from building a house to buying a car. You know, when you buy a car, you can opt for some optional extras like a factory fitted tow bar or a sunroof installed or roof racks put on. These sayings are not optional extras. These are not the equivalent of roof racks. These are the equivalent of having a steering wheel. These are the equivalent of having a motor. They're essential. They're not matters of preference, they're matters of righteousness. And if we had time to track through the chapters, we'd see some of the things that are mentioned this way. Things like being loving to other people, being generous to other people, showing friendship, being loyal, making the first move for reconciliation the way God does, championing justice the way God does, fairness the way God does, honesty the way God does, mercy the way God does, having personal integrity. These are not optional extras in life. We are compelled to act these ways, or at least we are if we fear God. And again, as Christians, we're particularly blessed because as Christians, we have a much more intricate framework possible than even Proverbs provides, because this side of the cross, we have seen God himself on earth revealed fully in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we see even more precisely the things that make God happy and the things that make God excited and the things that God values and the things that God enjoys and the things that God desires and the things that God hates. And so for us as Christians, we're able to put together a really good framework because we have all the more revelation of God to us through Jesus. And so don't mishear the pastoral tone of this. It's not saying these things so that we'll be saved. It's saying these things so that we'll have a life that's stable. That's what Proverbs is interested in giving us. And it's not presented as a burden. It's actually presented to us as something of a great reassurance, because it's showing us that within the complexities of life, within all the choices that we've got to make every day, there's actually two very simple life lessons which, if you constantly apply them, it will help you through hundreds of decisions. Am I fearing God? Well, if I am, based on that foundation, what therefore am I obligated to do because of what I know of God, because of who he is? What are the things I need to give first priority to in this decision, because these are the things that matter most to God? But it doesn't end there, because overlaid on top of this, Proverbs now wants to add a third layer. And to return to our house building sort of parallel, once the all-important foundation is down and once the necessary framework is up, now we can start adding in all the fixtures. And it's here that Proverbs now provides us with lots and lots of not so much obligations about life, so much as observations about life. Have a look at these next four examples. The poor is disliked even by his neighbour, but the rich has many friends. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favour from the Lord. It is bad, says the buyer, but when he goes away, then he boasts. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the thing to notice with these examples is that they're not really making a moral judgment anymore so much as simply describing a regularity of life. They're describing what usually happens. They're not describing what always happens. For example, the second one, does everyone who finds a wife really find a good thing? And don't misunderstand me, I'm not trying to be disrespectful or funny, but it's just not always true. In the Old Testament, did King Ahab really find a good thing when he married the murderous Jezebel? I don't think so. And so what we need to appreciate with these sorts of sayings is that they are observations about what is usually true, not obligations about what that which is always true. And Proverbs itself is very aware that this is the case. See, look at these next two verses. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. In two consecutive verses, Proverbs actually gives the exact opposite advice. In one case, don't answer a fool because you'd just be wasting your breath. In the second case, do answer a fool or else they'll never learn. Both are observations about life, which are often true but not always true. Hence, they are given right next to each other. Because Proverbs wants us to appreciate these are not universal rules about what will always happen. They are rules of thumb. They are generalisations about what often happens, which is still very useful to have, really useful. Because sometimes in life, isn't it the case that we're faced with a decision where each of the two options can both sort of seem right? Doing one thing or the other won't necessarily be a sin. Well, these sorts of astute observations about life in Proverbs will help us still make good judgments in those cases. And again, it's very much like the building of a house. After the slab is down and the frame is up, both of which you must get right. But then after that, there's lots of other things for you to decide on, and they're sort of up to you at that point. You can have timber floors, you can have carpet. You can have white walls, you can have blue walls. You can have a tiled splashback, you can have a glass splashback. In one sense, it doesn't actually matter. And sure, there are some choices that are more sensible than others. I mean, building a house in Bathurst without putting any heating in or any insulation, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Absolutely freeze in winter, but you could do it. It's not as if the house will fall down. It's just not a sensible choice. Well, here in Proverbs, God is lovingly telling us, you build a life like that. First comes the framework, the foundation of fearing God, and then on top of that comes a framework of righteousness and truth and justice and mercy and personal integrity, a framework that flows directly out of fearing God, and that must be there if the life is going to be stable. But then after that, just like our house, once the foundation and the frame is there, there's sort of a lot of flexibility, really. So relax about that. And sure, Proverbs provides us with lots of insightful observations about regularities of life so that we can make as good a judgment as possible. But really, there is lots of flexibility. So don't sweat that sort of stuff. The main thing is to get the foundation and the framework right. And Proverbs wants us to be comforted and exhilarated and excited by this. God wants to reassure you tonight that life can look complicated sometimes, but you can manage it and you can do well at it from God's perspective. You can build a better life by simply applying the same simple steps over and over again. Do I fear God? Therefore, what must I do as matters of righteousness? And then, having figured out what you must do, what are the observations of life that will best help live out that action? It's a helpful process. During this week, Whenever you need to make a decision, try and work through those steps. Why not jot them down, put them on your fridge so that when you're caught in the moment, hopefully you remember them. Do you fear God? Well, therefore, what must you do as a matter of righteousness? And then what are the observations of life that'll best help you put that into action? It's very helpful, especially because it will help us give first priority to the things that matter the most. See, I was chatting once to a Christian mate who was thinking of buying a holiday house. And he'd been asking around lots of other Christians for advice about doing that. And they'd given him plenty of advice. Advice about what were the good locations to invest in a holiday house in, how big it needed to be, what they should look for in it, when would be the right time of year to buy, all of which was pretty helpful up until a point. But Ian said no one actually asked him whether or not he was just being greedy in wanting a holiday house. No one actually asked him whether owning a holiday house was going to help him follow Jesus anymore. And so in terms of the building a house parallel, he got heaps of advice at the fittings level, not so much on the foundation and framework level. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not at all suggesting that owning holiday homes is wrong. My mate ended up getting one. But it is telling that often in our decision making, we give far more time and far more attention and far more importance to the things that are actually the least important to God. And so once more, Proverbs is wonderfully, helpfully practical. No matter what's going on in your life at the moment, no matter what decisions you might be making, whether they're big or whether they're small, you build a stable, good, effective life by giving first priority to the foundation of fearing God. And then you think hard about the non-negotiable framework of doing that which honours Him and flows from the character of God. Because building a life really is a lot like building a house. There are some things that you just can't afford to get wrong. I'll pray. Father, again, thank you for your loving wisdom to us. Thank you for the reminder of the first importance of revering you and your Son, for living for Jesus in all aspects of our life and doing those things that honour Him and come from your character. Father, we pray that you would help us to indeed strive as first importance in those matters of righteousness, in those decisions that we have to make. And thank you for the great creativity and flexibility that you build into our world. Thank you for loving us by giving us helpful observations as listed all through Proverbs. Father, thank you that you are interested in all of our lives. And we pray that this week, in the decisions we make, you would help us to be wise. Amen.